Now, back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Paul Shapiro with the Humane Society of the United States, my guest on the Dave Baum Show. We're talking about, just a situation that's intolerable. And it came to pass because the Humane Society of the United States used somebody at one of the meatpacking plants in this country, in California, to find some absolutely awful conditions going on, and the USDA basically throws up its hands. And as Paul has pointed out in our conversation, sometimes is in conflict with what it's supposed to be doing. Our phone number on the Baum Show is 1-888-463-6748. And let's go out to Corey. Corey, thank you for calling the Dave Baum Show. Can we help you?
Yes, good morning. I have a question for your guest.
Sure.
The situation in California with the meatpacking plant there, do you think that that was an exception to the rule, or do you think that that is going on in a lot of the meatpacking plants around the country or even around the world?
Well, thank you for your question, Corey. You know, the USDA has been issuing false assurances for some time now that this was just an anomaly. It was an aberration, just the bad actor. Which is an interesting claim to make because it's hard to see how USDA could know. I mean, the agency claims that it didn't know about the abuses that were ongoing that we uncovered at the Hallmark plant, so how can it possibly claim that it does know that this isn't happening anywhere else? What we do know, though, is that there have been many other recent slaughterhouse exposés by other animal welfare organizations that haven't received as much publicity as this case has, but that have turned up similarly horrific footage. Just last month, Tyson Foods, the nation's largest slaughterer of chicken, fired several employees who were caught by an undercover investigation by another animal group for torturing chickens in the slaughter plant. Like I said earlier, the USDA's own Office of the Inspector General found that cows were being abused at an Iowa slaughter plant a couple years ago while USDA inspectors slept or played computer games. Similarly, there was another case just a few years ago in West Virginia where an animal protection organization got a job at a chicken slaughter plant and videotaped workers slamming chickens on walls, stomping on them, and punting them like footballs, apparently all for fun and all caught on video. There was another case just a few months ago at a North Carolina turkey slaughter plant where workers were caught on video by another animal group punching turkeys like punching bags while they were hanging upside down in shackles while still fully conscious and abusing them in other manners. So I think that to...
Well, in addition to that, the treatment, the ongoing treatment for what has commonly been known as veal, where veal comes from.
That's a, you know, Dave, that's a great point. I think just to conclude, there's no way that USDA can claim to know that this was an aberration because it didn't know what was going on at this plant. Why should we believe that it knows what's going on in other plants? But Dave, you're absolutely right that the mistreatment of farm animals certainly is not limited to the slaughter plant. The on-farm treatment of these animals is oftentimes very abusive, and the case that you bring up is one of the more well-known ones where veal calves are confined in 2-foot-wide crates in which they're unable even to turn around for their entire lives. For 4 to 5 months before they're slaughtered, they're forced into immobilization. And the veal industry is just one of many within animal agribusiness that has been guilty of a notoriously poor record when it comes to animal welfare. For example, the egg industry has come under scrutiny lately for confining most of the egg-laying hens in the country in tiny wire mesh enclosures known as battery cages. These cages are so small the birds are unable even to spread their wings for more than a year. In fact, each bird in a battery cage has less space than a single sheet of letter-sized paper on which to live for more than a year before she's slaughtered. So the routine mistreatment of farm animals in our society is certainly not something that is limited to the slaughter plant. It is also pervasive throughout much of the on-farm treatment in many industries within the animal agribusiness sector.
I don't pretend to be an expert, and I'm certainly not. I'm a consumer who eats hamburgers and eggs, just about every product that's a byproduct of the animals that you're trying to protect. My question to you is, how did we get to this place?
It's a great question, Dave, and I'll tell you, the treatment of farm animals has gotten worse as we have continued to industrialize the agricultural sector. It's not to say that technology hasn't been helpful in many ways. Indeed, it has been very helpful. But when it comes to the treatment of animals, before World War II, most farm animals were still living in what many people would consider to be like an old McDonald's farm type scenario, mm-hmm. where chickens, were able to go outside and had some semblance of a decent.
It's kind of like the place you took the kids on Sunday, or your parents took you when you were growing up, kind of like the family run farm on the weekends, especially in the fall.
Yep.
Pumpkins and playing with the animals and that kind of stuff.
That's exactly right, although today's parents would be certainly ill-advised, perhaps, if they were looking to take their kids on a fun trip to bring them to your local factory farm. I mean, most of these places, as in the last several decades, have become increasingly industrialized to the point where many farm animals are treated just like mere commodities as they would be in a factory, as opposed to living, feeling individuals who are capable of suffering. And I think that we need to recognize that farm animals, like the dogs and cats who we welcome into our homes, have interests that matter. Even if they're going to be used for food, that does not mean that we can completely disregard whatever treatment we may wreak upon them for their whole lives. And right now, we are confining them in tiny cages for months on end that thwart many of their most basic movements. In the case of the pig and beef industry, we give them hormones that cause them to grow faster than they naturally would, which cause all types of animal welfare problems. In the case of poultry, we've genetically selected them for extremely rapid rates of growth so that today's broiler chicken grows so fast that they oftentimes have severe heart, leg, and lung disorders because their skeletons just can't keep up with their unnaturally large bulk. I mean, today's turkeys are unable even to mate naturally anymore because we've bred them to have such heavy breast meat because we want to eat so much breast meat that these poor animals are unable even to mate naturally. They just can't get the strength to lift their breast high enough for them to mate with the hens.
Let me ask you, in conclusion to this revealing conversation, Paul, if you were Secretary of Agriculture, what are the first two changes you would make?
I would love to be Secretary of Agriculture.
Well, there's got we're right around the corner. Let's face it, we're right around, regardless of who gets elected President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We're right around the corner from the possibility, as remote as it may seem, mm-hmm. of maybe major change if the message gets right out and stays loud. But if you're Secretary of Agriculture, mm-hmm. what are the primary changes, the first two changes you would make to make sure that people felt better not only about the process of cattle going in, mm-hmm. but what people like you and I are eating on the other end?
Sure. Well, I'll make sure to lobby both Senators McCain, Obama, and Clinton to make sure I'm on their short list. But here's what I would do. The first thing that I would do is endorse a bill that's pending in Congress right now called the Farm Animal Stewardship Purchasing Act. Again, it's the Farm Animal Stewardship Purchasing Act, and it's a procurement bill. What it states is that any animal producer who is supplying animal products, be they meat, eggs, or dairy, comply with if they're supplying animal products to the federal government, then they have to comply with a very modest set of basic animal welfare criteria, including a no-downer policy, including no intensive confinement of animals to the point where they're unable even to turn around and extend their limbs. Mm. So this would establish very modest animal welfare criteria for all producers supplying the federal government, whether that be for the National School Lunch Program or any other federal food procurement programs. Two, I would implement a policy not only for federal procurement, but for all slaughter of farm animals, no downers. There ought to be no crippled animals going in and being slaughtered. Those animals simply ought to be humanely euthanized immediately. Mm-hmm. I can think of numerous other changes I would make, Dave, but those are my
That's
top
That's a good start.
Right. And I'm going to, for everybody listening, you can contact McCain, Obama, and Clinton and tell them to put Paul Shapiro on their short list for Secretary of Ag.
Not a bad idea. What's your website again for people who might have been aware of the story from a distance but need to see it up close and personal? What's your website?
Folks can go to humanesociety.org to learn more about this investigation and other ways that they can help prevent animal cruelty.
Paul Shapiro, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Paul Shapiro, Senior Director of the Factory Farming Campaign of the Humane Society of the United States. Now we'll be talking to a food safety expert. And let's talk about what we didn't find out as consumers about the 143 million pounds of beef that was recalled in mid-February. You have any questions for our next guest? The number remains the same, 1-888-463-6748. So you think I was kidding you when I said at the outset of the show, before you take a big bite out of that hamburger that you make tonight, or you buy at a fast food joint, ask yourself a couple of questions. Now maybe you will.